Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you've been listening already, you've already heard me say that I have about a 35% case of laryngitis, so that means that you can still hear me. It just sounds a little bit different. It does not hurt. It's just that I'm a little hoarse this morning. And John Jantz will be in clear voice, though. I can assure you of that. He always is. John's our good friend. He's the author of Duct Tape Marketing. He's the universe's expert on small business marketing. And he's our good friend. John, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. You know, it's I used to say I was America's most practical small business marketing consultant, and then I went to the world, but I think you're the first one to actually take me out universal-wise.
Well,
so
see,
thank you
that's,
for that.
Well, see, we do this quite often. We anoint people around here, and so you've officially been anointed, and so you can
All right.
use that. You can,
I will.
Use that. According to Jim Blasingame, that's the case.
Right. Yeah.
What you got on your mind today? Anything that you want to talk about with regard to marketing, and putting our best foot forward in the marketplace?
Well,
regard to the circumstances we find ourselves in 2008, either real economic challenges or perceived.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what I would love to spend some time talking about because it's a topic that I get asked to talk about occasionally, and I'm later on today for a big software provider. I'm actually doing a workshop, and the subject of the workshop is getting sales and marketing on the same page. And I think that's a pretty relevant topic for, I mean, anytime, you know, I guess people are talking about whether it's real or perceived, they're talking about tightening belts and downturns and all those kind of things. Well, one of the best things you can do is get much more effective and efficient at generating customers, converting customers, keeping those customers coming back and referring. And I think that's the idea behind getting sales and marketing, you know, on the same page. Even in the smallest organizations, I find that I know you have sales trainers and sales motivators on this, mm-hmm. and I know you have marketing folks, and certainly, you know, you can go out there to a group that has salespeople and marketers, and you'll find that there's a bit of a divide. You know, those idiots in sales, you know. Can't sell anything, and those idiots in marketing won't give us what we need.
Right. you make a good point, because one of the things that I've been talking about now for months is if you're going to do anything to react to the economic conditions we have right now, if you're going to do anything, find efficiencies. That's the obvious first place to start. And one of the great efficiencies to find is this, as you say, this disconnect sometimes between marketing and sales.
Well, what happens is, if it exists, and for many companies it does, for a variety of reasons, well, if it does exist, it's going to filter down to the customer. And if the customer feels a disconnect, then you're probably going to lose a percentage of the sales. You're going to, you know, they're going to go elsewhere. People don't like to be confused or get mixed messages, and so you're running that risk. You know, a lot of times the reason it happens, of course, is it's not because salespeople are bad or marketing people are bad. It's even though they have the same objective of getting, keeping, and creating and keeping customers, oftentimes they are measured completely differently. You know, sales is all about activity. You know, what did you do today? How many calls did you make? And marketing is much more about opportunity. So the getting them on the same page, you know, is a little bit like, you know, setting everybody in the family down together, you know, because you have the same ultimate goals, and trying to make sure that the goals and the way they are measured make sense for, you know, for everyone.
Well, you know, if you look, John, you and I both worked for big companies before, and if you know what goes on in big companies, you know that there are three towers in their headquarters. One of the towers has marketing people in it. The other tower has advertising people, and the other tower has salespeople. And there's not always a good connection between those two. They all have their own budgets. They all have their own marching orders, their own little fiefdoms, so to speak. In small business, those lines are a lot. There are no three towers. There's three little spaces, and there's the lines are blurred between those three areas a little bit more, aren't they?
Absolutely. But you know what's interesting, or ironic or paradoxical, depending upon your point of view, is that even in the smallest organizations, you know, a lot of times, like you said, it's the owner of the business who does marketing, who does sales, they actually need to create some of those lines because they do have different functions.
I want you to tell, and that's what I want to talk about when we come back. You've leapt uncontrollably to my thought there, John, so stand by. Right back with our good friend John Jantz, author of Duct Tape Marketing. I'm Jim Blasingame. I think my throat's getting better, don't you? I think my voice is getting a little better, don't you think so? 20 Tales, stay with us. Jackie Wilson for you, bringing us back. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, with a little bit of a hoarse voice, not a sore throat, but a hoarse voice. Thank you for allowing me to continue to do business with you, even though I'm not 100% from the voice standpoint. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. They work fine. No, you'll have no problems there, I promise you. John Jantz is our guest. He's the author of Duct Tape Marketing. John, give us your website, please.
It is ducttapemarketing.com, and that's ducttapemarketing.com.
John, we were talking about the differences between marketing, advertising, sales in a small business compared to a big business. It's hard to differentiate. You said something about earlier about connecting sales and marketing in a better way, but sometimes it's hard to separate those things in a small business.
They absolutely have independent functions, but they are very interdependent as well. And let me give you my definition of marketing and then my definition of sales, and I think that helps at least maybe clarify for our conversation. My definition of marketing for the small business is getting someone who has a need to know, like, and trust you. That's the conversation.
Say that again, John. Folks, this is going to be on the test.
Getting someone who has a need to know, like, and trust you.
Nothing about buying from you right now. That's not where we are.
Now we're creating opportunities. We're creating the conversation. We're creating the idea. Now sales then is taking know, like, and trust, and converting it to try, buy, repeat, and refer.
And pay. Don't forget to pay.
Well, sure. but the idea behind that is that they are very dependent upon each other, but they do have distinctly unique functions. And another way of saying that is that marketing owns the idea in the customer's mind, and sales owns the relationship in the best functioning businesses. So what you have is very large organizations that need to do a lot better job of locking arms and holding hands and hugging, between the departments so that they understand, those salespeople go out there and they really do know what the customer needs, and they really do hear the pain in some cases, and they really do see who and what makes an ideal customer. And they need to take that back to marketing and say, don't give us these, 475-page PowerPoint presentations.
Right.
Let us tell you what the pain really is. And some of that going on would really help get them on the same page. Now, in a small organization, they've actually got to do the opposite. They've got to create the fact that there are separate functions. They can't just flow into the business owner one day picking up the phone, calling somebody, then saying, okay, well, we'll send you out some information, and then going back and making it up. I mean, there literally needs to be a marketing function You know, even if you don't have a, I often tell people, create an org chart. Even if you don't have a body to put in it, you've got that function. You've got a marketing function. You've got a sales function.
And you need to, you need to put a line item in your operating statement, in your budget for it. Because a lot of small businesses do not have a marketing line item in their budget or in their operating statement. One thing I want to point out, John. Let me see what you think about this. Folks, if you're wondering, you know, how does marketing, why do I need to focus on marketing? Why don't I just spend more money on my salespeople, put more salespeople out there, give them better products, et cetera, et cetera? To me, John, marketing is all the things that you said. But what it does is it conditions the marketplace so that when my salespeople show up, you know, as you talked about the no trust and all that sort of thing, when my salespeople show up, that's waiting on them. It conditions the marketplace so when your people show up, it's not so hard on them. Because you can put lots of people out in the marketplace, but if the people they drop by on have never heard of you, you got a problem.
Well, and it's not just never heard of you, but actually hear of you in a way that clearly differentiates you from the competition. Because then what happens is the salesperson's the first question is no longer how much.
Right.
You know, and from anybody who's done any selling, you know, I'm sure they can tell you that competing on price is a really crummy way to have to do business.
It's, well, if you're doing it as a small business owner, you're a dinosaur waiting to become extinct.
Well, I always tell people there will, you know, competing on price is a lousy way to go because there will always be someone willing to go out of business faster than you.
That's right. The price war is over, folks, and we lost.
That's right. And the nothing, you know, negates that whole price thing like trust.
Right.
I mean, if you are seen as the preferred expert, as the preferred solution, as the niche player in somebody's little world, well, then the price drops way down to 4, 5, and 6, you know, on the question because nobody else can do what you do. So, you know, how could I compare on price, you know, or why would I? You know, my best friend told me that you have the solution for me. Why would I shop around? Mm-hmm. And that's what you're after with the building of know, like, and trust.
Mm-hmm. Do you consider referrals to be part of marketing or sales?
Well, no, I absolutely consider them to be part of both. They are the referrals happen because a company is referable, because they take care of not only the know, like, and trust, but they take care of the customer service. They take care of the billing you talked about. You know,
right.
They take care of the delivery. You know,
but marketing does play a role in training people how to refer you and collecting those referrals, doesn't it?
You bet. Absolutely.
Yeah. Hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break. Right back with John Jantz. Here's Jerry and the Pacemakers to take us out. And that's Jerry with a G, by the way.
Your heart may be broken tonight.
Are you reeling in the years? Slowing away the time. Are you gathering up the keys?
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for putting up with my voice. But as you know, I'm just like you. I show up every day, rain or shine. Perfect voice or not, of course. John Jantz is our guest. John, many people probably tell me I never had a perfect voice, so
you keep claiming you're not at 100%, but Jim, you're usually at about 125%. So I think you're probably, you know, just maybe teetering right at 100%.
I'm just
right now.
Just down to regular. Is that what you're saying?
That's right.
Notice I didn't say normal. We never use that word around here. John, by the way, folks, John is the author of Duct Tape Marketing. It's outstanding. It's the best marketing book I have ever seen. Give us your website. You got a blog too. Tell us about that.
You bet. It's Duct Tape Marketing. DuctTapeMarketing.com, and the blog is right there. If you go to the homepage, you'll see the big old link for the blog. And my last couple posts are. I guess I've been thinking about this sales and marketing getting together thing, and I've actually got a couple posts up there right now on that very subject.
Well, see, and folks, be sure to check that out. John, I just want to come back. You know, I know you want to get marketing and sales more together. But I actually think in small businesses, we got to get it. We need to spend more time getting them separated, so that we can actually differentiate the tasks and identify that there is a marketing role in a small business. Because John, as you know, and this is why you make a living, of the two things that small business owners are woefully inadequate at, is human resources and marketing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the things that you know, we certainly do and advocate, and you're absolutely right, Jim. I mean, a lot of times it's, you know, even getting them to define what marketing is tough, and so certainly having the idea that there are distinct functions and differences is sometimes a tough sell, especially when it's the same person doing both jobs. But the key really is to understand that, okay, when lead generation stops, so when the phone rings, for example, that you actually have a systematic planned response to that. That, you know, you don't have to necessarily have a sales manual, but you certainly ought to have a planned response to qualify, you know, that lead, a planned response for when somebody says, I want more information, what are you going to do? A planned response for when you actually make an appointment and you introduce, you know, what your company does and how it's different. Mm-hmm. That you have a planned response for when somebody says, okay, this is great, Jim, I want to buy. You know, it's amazing how often that's when people go, okay, my job's done here. You know? And then they drop the ball. And so then the experience that you build, or at least the expectation that you built to that point, then falls off the table. And I guarantee you, that first sale, how you conduct the transaction, how you orient them to your business, how you make sure that they don't have buyer's remorse, that's where sale number two comes from, and that's where the referrals come from.
Right.
It's that sort of moment of truth that a lot of people really underestimate.
Well, that's exactly right, and I'm glad to hear you say all those things, because a lot of times we don't, you know, we just sort of flow from one topic, from one test to the other, without any kind of defining elements, no differentiating between a sales pitch and a marketing strategy, and we really need to focus on those things more. And you know, I think one place to start, if you have none of this, folks, if you're saying, okay, I'm like getting an F in all this stuff, here's a good place to start, John. What do you think? How about come up with an elevator speech?
Yeah, we actually call it your talking logo.
Okay.
isn't that
a good first step?
Yeah, well, absolutely. But that step comes from, you know, unfortunately, you know, that's premature to just say come up with it, because that it needs to be based in something. It needs to be based in, okay, describe your ideal customer. I mean, and one that you could draw a picture of that you'd say, boy, if I had 10 more of those, life would be great. And understand everything you can about what makes them tick, who they are, why they buy, why they refer, why they like you, you know, what you do that's valuable to them. In fact, I would recommend that you identify 8 or 10 of those in your business today, and you go out and you sit down and you interview them. I mean, you don't have to call it an interview. You can call it lunch, you know, but sit down and say, okay, what is it that we do well? Help me understand why you stick with us. When you refer us, you know, what do you tell people? Why, you know, what I have found is a lot of times small business owners don't really understand or don't fully grasp what they do that their customers really appreciate.
I think you're exactly right.
And if you can get to the essence of those two things, you know, how you really are different and you know, who you really can serve well and should narrowly be serving well, then you can create the elevator speech or the talking logo, because it'll be based in something that'll be valuable to you.
John, the wisdom of John Jantz, ladies and gentlemen. John, thank you for being here today. Good job, as always.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and take care.
We'll see you next time. John Jantz, folks. Duct Tape Marketing is the book and the website. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.